Good afternoon. This is Nevin Campanella, welcoming you to the BBS production of Woodland Star, your net radio source for entertainment and coincidental enlightenment. I like that part, coincidental. Somehow or other, I think that me being on the air is going to coincidentally enlighten people. I doubt it. Actually, that really deserves some explanation. Before I get into our guest this evening, I want to give a few announcements. Number one, everybody should recognize by now that BBS Productions has changed their schedule. We are now all on the hour. And I know Don is listening, and I got to tell you, Don, I like this a lot better. That darn half-hour business was making me nuts. Although apparently Don has two different clocks. I got to tell the audience this. Don has two different clocks in his office, and they're set an hour apart. Why? I have no idea. For the past 2 weeks, he's been calling me an hour early. But I think he's eventually going to catch up. Okay, a couple of announcements. Folks, Thanksgiving is coming up, and I know everybody's going to have a grand time eating all that turkey, but I want you at some point in time, please spend a couple of minutes thinking about what happened in Bangladesh. There are probably well over a few thousand lives have been lost. Casting a little white light in that direction, it can't hurt, okay? So while you're stuffing your gut, please think about those poor people. It might help. Let's get on with the show. Tonight's guest is going to be, hold on, folks, I'm getting a message handed to me. Tonight's guest is Stephanie Alexander, and she is the CEO and founder of WomanSavers.com. Oh, let me make a little announcement here. According to a person I have listening, they say they're listening to music, and it's not being, the show itself is not coming through. So, Don, if you're picking this up in the station, you might want to check that out. Okay, where was I? Stephanie Alexander. I got to tell you, folks, her website has got to be absolutely the most different website I have ever seen. I've got a lot of questions to ask her. And what is her website about? Well, it is, in fact, the world's largest database rating men. And Woman Savers, I'm going to quote this, Woman Savers has been the leader in online men's database rating since 2003, making it the first and most established of its kind. If only there were a way you could talk to men's exec, I'm not really sure what that is, before you got involved. Anyway, what this is about, folks, is young people, you're out there, you want to date, check out this website and see if the guy is on it. Our toll-free numbers are USA and Canada, 888-228-4494, and worldwide, and this one still amazes me, I don't know how Don does it, 877-489-6350. By the way, apparently that womansavers.com is visited worldwide. I went on it, and I really checked this out because it was so fascinating to me what was going on. Stephanie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Stephanie, you have an absolutely fascinating website. I have never seen anything like that before.
Thank you for the compliment. I put my heart and soul into it.
Oh, I'm sure you did. I mean, the most amazing thing I've ever seen. You know, I consider myself somewhat worldly on the net, but I had no idea anything like that existed. So I was kind of flabbergasted by all of it. And I understand that it's all about rating men. Ladies go out, they rate males, their names go on and so forth. However, before we get into all that, tell us a little bit about your background and how did you get started in this type of business?
Well, my background is not really in computers. It was in international airport equipment, a family business, and I dealt in that for 9 years. And then thereafter, I did hotel reservations, international hotel reservations, and I started doing search engine optimization for the hotel website, and I got better and better with computers. And then I had a breakup with a man. And before that time, I had done some online dating, and I had had my experiences with men, good and bad. But I thought to myself, you know, the internet is being used for everything else. Wouldn't it be great if women could network together to share their information about men so we could screen to, so research and rate before you date? And I was living in New York at the time, and I purchased a domain name, and I just built a database. And it took off. It got very, very popular. It's international, and I kept building on that because I noticed that most of the women who do post on here are in abusive situations, and they don't have the funds or the means to hire a psychiatrist, or they're embarrassed to speak to family and friends about their situation. So I give them free medical advice from a physician, free psychotherapy advice from a psychotherapist. There are lots of articles on abuse and infidelity. So not only can they search and rate a guy, they can also find help to get out of their abusive situation for free.
Well, okay, Stephanie. I mean, I kind of get the picture in terms of where you were at and then getting involved in the business. However, I guess the question I have is there are many young ladies who go out on dates and they have, you know, good experiences and bad experiences, but they don't necessarily start up an entire business in that regard. So I guess what I'm saying or asking is, was there something specific about some of your dating experiences that were borderline horrendous? I don't know how else to put it.
Well, it started as a child. I was abused as a child by my father, my stepfather. And
are we talking about sexual abuse?
Yes. We're talking about sexual abuse. And then afterwards, I had good and bad experiences with men. But basically, I was lied to, cheated on, scammed, and even physically abused by a few of the men that I dated, who were seemed like really great guys in the beginning. But after I became involved with them, they were not so great after all. So even though I had bad experiences with men, I also had good experiences. But I wished I would have had the opportunity to speak to their exes or somebody who had been involved with them prior to, so I could have a little bit of a character check. So maybe I wouldn't have put my heart on the platter so quickly and been a little bit more cautious.
Well, I can certainly understand from what you just told me. It makes a little bit more sense in my head as to, you know, how did this all get generated. I kind of searched around on you, Stephanie. I mean, and I don't usually do that with a guest. You know, I just go to their website, pick up a few questions so that we can kind of have a nice little warm interview, and that's usually the end of it. But in your case, there was something profoundly missing no matter where I went on behalf of your name. And believe me, if you type in your name in Google, you know, it comes up all over the place. So I started checking all the different places you had been to, places you spoke at, you know, and there's a raft of information. But one of the major, major pieces that I couldn't find, and maybe I just don't know how to use the computer well enough, is that there is no history on Stephanie Alexander. Nowhere did I look did I ever see what you had just said, which would have explained immediately to many people, aha, now we have some rationale as to what pushed this forward. Or did I just somehow miss your bio?
I think you missed some of them. Lots of the radio interviews I've done, I talk about why and my past, and also in
the interview, yes, but Is it written anywhere?
Is it written? Yes, it's written in a questionnaire in my press release and bio, my press kit.
Ah, okay. Wow, I guess I missed it. Usually what I try to do is dig out the bio, because it's people, people who are listening, especially the young ladies, of course they're going to have an interest in your website. There's no doubt about it. Anybody who's dating on the net, they are going to be interested in your website. However, what makes you a real person is your personal life experience. And, you know, that's usually what my interviews usually consist of, you know, personal life experience. But your website is so profoundly amazing from anything that I have ever seen before. And believe me, we will start getting into that website in a bit here. But I really did want to cover, you know, some of that history, what led up to it. And after your explanation, I mean, obviously, there's some very compelling reasons as to why you did this. Hold a bachelor's degree in communications and German, is that correct?
Yes.
What led you into communications?
Well, I had a full-ride scholarship in German, and I was unsure of my major. I wanted to pick something that's quite broad that I could use in marketing or whatever field I chose to go in, and so I double majored.
It's a fascinating field. I know a number of people who have majored in it, and some of them actually wind up going into TV, broadcasting, so on and so forth. And so I was kind of, since I know so many people in communications with that kind of background, I immediately kind of like jumps out at me. And you also enjoy scuba diving. Where do you go? Where do you go scuba diving?
I've been scuba diving all over the world, and I'm certified nitrox, rescue, and advanced diver. And I've been everywhere from diving in the Red Sea, throughout the Caribbean, Great Barrier Reef. You name it, I've been there.
Wow, a Great Barrier Reef. Did you encounter any sharks? I understand that's like the shark water of the world.
Yeah. I've done a lot of shark diving. I love to shark dive. It's not scary at all. The only ones that are really scary are the ones that are dangerous to man, like obviously great whites or tiger sharks or the hammerheads.
Did you ever encounter?
Not scary. Oh, yeah, lots of times. I have photos and live footage of me diving with sharks, lots of different times.
Wow, absolutely fascinating. You're also involved in yoga. How did you get involved in that?
Because I'm always on the quest to find more spiritual balance. And yoga allowed me to get in touch with how my body feels. I feel stronger, leaner. I stand more upright, and it feels like everything in my body is moving better.
The reason I'm pointing that out is my daughter is a yoga instructor, and she's been trying for years to get me to do yoga. Frankly, I watch her, you know, a couple of times, exercising, practicing, whatever, and my body just won't bend like that. So I'm kind of envious of people who can actually do it. But then again, at the age of 64, it's probably pretty rough for me to be starting yoga.
No, it's time to start yoga. And I don't do regular yoga. I do Bikram yoga, and that's yoga that's done in a 110-degree room.
In what?
In a 110-degree room.
Why would you... Okay, explain to everybody out there, why would anybody take that kind of punishment?
Because when you go in those rooms and you do the traditional yoga positions, the warm heat allows you to bend deeper and do a deeper workout. So therefore, you feel more limber, and I just really like the way my body feels. I've tried all different types of yoga, and although I like Ashtanga and some of the other ones, Hatha yoga, I really like Bikrams also. Makes you sweat.
That's fascinating, because I've spent a lot of time around Native American populations, especially when I was working in my career as a psychologist. I used to spend a lot of time down on reservations down in the Four Corners area and up north in Montana and so on and so forth, and I had the opportunity to engage in sweat lodges, and what you're talking about sounds something similar to that, except there's no movement inside the sweat lodge.
I had a hard time.
Well, it may be, but I got to tell you, I really had a hard time dealing with it. I mean, I always kind of felt like I was suffocating. Okay, your home, you and I probably do not live all that far from each other. I'm up in Brigham City, Utah. Don't tell the city where you're in. I know you are, I think you are also in Utah, aren't you?
Most of the time I'm in Arizona, actually.
Oh, okay. Now, your website, one of the questions I have is, has there been any effect, you haven't become involved in this kind of website, was there any kind of effect on your extended family, you know, mom, dad, brothers and sisters, so on and so forth? What was their reaction?
They thought I was crazy in the beginning, and they were a little bit worried about me because since starting the website, I've encountered all sorts of problems. I've had stalkers, threats, harassment, you know, things like that, because the types of men that are entered into the database are, you know, anywhere from convicted felons to drug abusers, pedophiles, you know, deadbeat dads, you name it, they're in there. And
I had the opportunity, what I did was I went in, and you have a few lists in there of top 10 most talked about, whatever. So I kind of like dove into it and looked at the forum there that's going on where the gals write in and kind of give their rating. And what I was kind of curious about is, how do you know if the person they're writing about isn't just being plain maligned by some gal who's just really miffed? I mean, how do you know that?
You don't. You don't. There's very strong terms of use that people have to agree to before they post, and one of those is that they're telling the truth, or it's just their opinion, because if you say John is a jerk, or Jane is a jerk, or was a jerk to me, that falls under freedom of speech, First Amendment, and you can shout that off the rooftops and nobody can do anything about that. But if you said something like, John gave me AIDS, you better make sure that you have medical factual proof to back up your statement, or you could be sued for libel. So
what you're saying is you can use adjectives, but you cannot make pronouncements about what the individual may or may not have done.
If they're true, you can, because the truth is 100% defense to libel in all cases.
Considering the variety of males that get listed in there, you made a curious little statement. You said Jane also. Are there females also listed?
I have a website for men where men can post also, and it's called Rate, R-A, letter T-E, and then the letter B, the number 4, the letter U, and then date, rateb4udate.com. But it never took off on the same level as Woman Savers, because men were just posting different things. They were posting things like, you know, how easy is she to get into bed? Are her boobs real or not? Things like that. Whereas women were really posting, he slept with my best friend, he isn't paying child support, things like that. So,
yeah, I could understand why that would happen, especially with young males. I mean, you know, truth be known, they're operating on their lower
hormones.
Brain, most of them. Yeah. What can
women
say?
Do.
I mean, I've been there, done that.
I'm a woman, so my heart is really in the woman's side. I'm sure that one will be created. I'm working on Guy Savers right now, actually. That should launch shortly. And
you
that
might
will
be
an attachment to Woman Savers.
You might be interested in this little bit of information I'm about to impart, and I just came across it while I was sitting in the car the other day waiting for my wife to get out of the post office, and this little announcement comes on the radio, and I know it was broadcasted out of Salt Lake, because I was listening to The Breeze, that's the station, and there was a lawyer group advertising two males for what they are, is a specialty group who work only with men who are getting divorced and want their children. So, in other words, this this whole group of attorneys is kind of like male-oriented and focused on, will you as a dad be able to get custody of your children? And I was kind of fascinated by that. I had never heard of that before. So maybe there is some interest in taking the male side around.
Absolutely. Men get the short end of the stick when it comes to rights for children or even divorce. I would never get married without a prenup if I were a man.
Well, what happens when men go on your site and they see their name? I mean, you must get a lot of irate email.
Well, they do various things. They're allowed to contact the owner and the original author through an in-house anonymous email system. Whether the author responds to them or not is another matter, or they can tell their side of the story by posting a rebuttal, which is also free. And frequently they do that. They usually write things like, you know, this woman is psycho, or they threaten the woman that posted it. And then a lot of times the women will edit or retract their statements if they're scared.
What happens? Have you ever had contact from legal authorities? I'm not talking about attorneys now, such as prosecuting attorneys and so on.
Yes.
And so forth. People. Okay. Well, tell us about that a little bit. What happens?
I've been contacted by the New York DA to work on an identity theft case that I gave them all the information I could, but we don't keep IPs, so there's nothing much to track, and many of the people who do post information on my site are scared, so they go to a cyber cafe or a library or things like that. There's not a lot of information, so I couldn't help them a lot, but I gave them what I could.
Would you explain to the audience what you meant by the RP? You don't keep track of?
No, the IP. An IP address
IP.
Is when somebody logs on from a computer somewhere, you can track it, and it tells you where that computer is, which city or town.
Is there a reason why you don't track?
Yes, I want to protect the women. I don't want to take any kind of risks because a lot of these women are in horrible situations. They're being beat up, and I want to protect them at all costs.
I read a few of the blogging that went on by women about one particular male. I'm trying to remember. I think he was in Italy. I'm not sure. But anyway, I found the writing so extreme in terms of description, I had a hard time believing it, and I didn't quite know how to deal with that in my head, because if what they're writing is real, if it's real, then we've got a heck of a problem in this country.
Oh, it's not just in this country, it's international. I mean, we had a serial bigamist that was married to 7 different wives in 7 different states who was caught, and he was married throughout the Midwest, and he targeted older women who were lonely, who wouldn't question, you know, why he wasn't home again on Thanksgiving. And the only marriage records that are linked right now are Nevada, Florida, and Texas. So you could get married in California and next month get married in the Midwest and nobody would know any difference. And this is what he did.
Well,
he had time for 7 women is beyond me.
Yeah, that's one busy guy.
And he's in here too, and all the wives were posting about him and trying to warn other women because he was on the prowl again.
There was one male who was accused of procreating all over the planet with a number of different women, having
right.
children here and there and everywhere.
That's common.
Okay. Do you believe it to be real?
Yes. It's pretty obvious. Sometimes men will self-post themselves into the database also. But those are kind of obvious to figure out because they usually give glowing reviews about themselves, and then they always have to mention something about what wonderful lovers they are or how great they are in bed. Women are quite specific. You know, they give case numbers sometimes, you know, if the father isn't paying child support, or, you know, they've got a lot of factual proof to back this stuff up, or they'll give links and within the posts. You know, nothing can be really guaranteed or verified. I wish there was a way to, you know, hook everybody up to a lie detector test, but there is a law that is called Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, and that basically protects blog owners, message board owners, search engines from being held liable for what other people write. We just categorize the information. We don't author it. So there's no way to
yeah.
be held liable for that.
There was a recent news report about a 13-year-old teenage girl in Missouri who started a friendship with someone who called himself Josh on the, I'm trying to think of what it was, MySpace, I think.
Yeah.
And anyway, he had this nice demeanor about him in terms of what he was writing. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he says he's ending the relationship because he understands that she's not a nice person and accused her of a number of different kinds of things. And the next day, this teenager committed suicide. Now, it turns out that it was a family within the neighborhood that actually put that phony profile up of Josh. And apparently this little girl had gotten, I don't know, into some type of argument with some of the other children from that other household. And so they decided to do this, you know, rather terrible scam on her. Now the parents of that teenager are trying to get some sort of prosecution going. But I got to be honest with you, while as much as I sympathize with the parents of the child who committed suicide, you know, I got to ask, where were the parents when their child was, you know, running all over the net? I mean, it would be very easy to keep blaming others for what we decide to do, and I guess
that's what attorneys are for, right?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, and so I guess, you know, I understand, you know, some of what you're saying. And I wish that people would start taking a little bit more responsibility for their children and for themselves on the net. I mean, it's pretty easy to go on saying, you know, he made me do this, she made me do that, you know. And I mean,
people are always pointing fingers in our
right.
society. And it's too easy, you know, lawyers are unemployed. They need to create frivolous lawsuits and clog up the system, and that's what they do.
One of the things that comes through very clear in your message, even as we're speaking, is the striving for more information between people. And, you know, Stephanie, it sounds a little paranoid. Now, don't jump on me yet. Let me finish. I'm 64 years old, and I mean, I have not been involved in dating games, you know, in years and years. So it may be that the world that exists out there now is probably very different from the world that I lived in when I was a young man, you know, and trying to find a gal and date and so on and so forth. So when I hear you speak, including the possibility of lie detector tests, to me, to my old ears from a very different generation, it sounds paranoid. But I'm also very well aware that just because you're paranoid doesn't mean someone isn't chasing you. And
I don't think it's paranoia. I think after a man or a woman have a series of bad experiences, that they want to be a little more careful in the next relationship they get in. And the only way you can do that is to take your time and to do your homework and to do a little bit of research, because nobody gives out bad information in the beginning. You don't know if you're dealing with a pedophile who may be targeting a mother for access to her children. You don't know if you're dealing with a convicted felon or a serial bigamist or on and on and on. There are a lot of shady people in this world right now, and especially on the internet is where they go to find their next victim. So we take all this time, you know, to inspect our cars before we get to buy a car, or our homes to make sure it's all secure. But why wouldn't we take the same steps before a potential lifetime partner?
You know, I'm reflecting on what, as you speak, And I'm trying to think back, you know, a long time ago, what would have happened to me if I had suggested that, you know, maybe a gal take a lie detector test or something like that. I mean, way back in the 60s, I just can't imagine people doing that very, accepting that very easily.
Well, I don't think you can ask somebody when you're just starting to date to take a lie detector test, but that doesn't mean you can't do a little bit of homework. For under $50, you can do a full, predator profile to see if maybe he's a sexual predator or she, or you can see if they have a criminal record, or you can just Google their name to see if anything comes up, and then you know whether to, you know, research further or back off. You can make better, safer, and more educated decisions.
I agree, but I guess my question is, wouldn't it be a whole lot safer in the long run if people dated via the older system? In other words, you date via people within the community, recommendations from friends and family, you know, that kind of thing.
Yes, that would be wonderful, but we can't go back in time, and that's not this world. Now,
tell me, okay, explain to this old man, why isn't that practical anymore? I'm asking a legitimate question. I don't understand why not.
Because technology has changed the way we communicate. We don't communicate as much face-to-face anymore, and the Internet increases your chances of meeting Mr. and Mrs. Right, but it also increases your chances of meeting Mr. and Mrs. Wrong. So it's easier. It's a numbers game, and people can think, oh, well, you know, if I get my ad out there, I can cover a larger ground and meet more people, and sometimes older people don't feel comfortable going to bars, or maybe they're in a new city that they just moved it to and they don't know anybody. So they look towards technology to help them.
Why doesn't the old system still stand, though? I mean, that doesn't negate talking to,
I think the old system... One of my ex-boyfriend was recommended by my realtor, and that was a blind date, and that was a personal recommendation, you know, which was great. But
how did it work out? How did he work out?
He was a nice guy. I mean, he was the guy that prompted me to start Woman Savers. But
okay.
I can't say he was just an abusive guy. I mean, he would make a wonderful partner for the right person. So he wasn't that
you know,
guy. It's just that everywhere I turned, I was hearing stories from women. You know, I know a woman who got profiled by a man digging through her trash that she met on an LDS singles website. And, you know, the stories just went on and on and on. I thought, you know, women really need to share information and knowledge to help the next generation of women deal with this differently.
Wow, you know, you're right, and I am not at all suggesting that you're not. I'm simply an old man catching up in the time, so to speak, and the things that you're saying, they astound me. I mean, they really absolutely astound me. But then again, I come out of a very different generation, and the things that I know it's real. I mean, I read about it all the time, the things that men do.
It's not just
men.
Women do it, too. Whether they're gold diggers, and there's abusive women also, but it's just that I'm focused right now to help women and children also. That's my focus, and that is what I want to change. And although what I'm doing right now is very controversial, and there's a few copycats out there, nobody is basically doing what I'm doing and has for years because of the controversy. But what's controversial now will probably not be controversial 10 years from now.
Do you really believe that?
Yeah. Because with Internet, the Big Brother's already here. People blog about a date they have. You know, you can find out anything about anyone in a few clicks by doing a background or, you know, a reverse telephone number search. And, I mean, there's just so many different things with technology now that I think people will end up policing each other. And it's going to be character check from person to person. It's just different now. You know, nothing is secure.
You know, it sounds exhausting, and I'm wondering if I would have had the energy to do what young people are doing to, you know, be able to dig that deep just to find out if the person you're talking to happens to be a serial killer. Okay, well, we're, you know, we're talking about, I guess, the future world, and I obviously I don't fit into it anymore. My wife and I are from a very old school and very old way of looking at things, but I'm well aware of the net. I mean, obviously, I'm, you know, running a talk show here. And again, your website, by the way, why don't you give out the full name of the website? What is it again?
It's Woman Savers, and that's spelled with an A-N, not an E-N. That's singular, one woman, womansavers.com, womansavers.com. And it's the world's largest database rating men. It's free to search and free to post, and it's organized like a phone book by first and last name, city, state, and country.
Yeah, it's very easy to use, folks. I went in and looked at it, and believe me, you'll have no problem in getting around the website. Stephanie, you also have a book out. What is the book about?
The book is basically an online dating survival guide, and it teaches people the key questions and ways to screen your dates. So, for example, there's a couple quick steps to see if you're maybe dating with a married person, which there are, what, 2 out of every 5 people on dating websites are married. So a couple of, you know, correct questions, and you can figure that out real quick.
How do people go about getting, first of all, what's the title of the book?
The title of the book is called Sex, Lies, and the Internet, and they can buy it. It's just an e-book right now because I'm not sure if I want to go the traditional publishing route because right now I'm so busy doing constant interviews and for Woman Savers that I'm spread a little too thin. So when my time lessens up, I may choose traditional publishing, and I may not. The ebook is doing quite well because I've got a strong platform of women. And they can purchase it at sexliesandtheinternet.com. And basically, it's every tip and technique that I've learned over the years to screen people, and also how to get out of an abusive situation.
Let's talk about how to get out of an abusive situation. One of the burning questions that many people, I'm sure not only me, have asked is, why do women stay in it? I read one post on your website in which this gal went on about getting pregnant from some guy and getting beat up, and he would leave for long periods of time and show up and beat her up again and so on and so forth. So my question to you, Stephanie, is why? Why do women stay in those relationships?
I can tell you exactly why they stay, and there's just a multitude of a few reasons why they stay. And one of those is they sometimes stay for children, for the sake of the children. They're scared to be on their own. They're scared to be single mothers, and they will stay in an abusive relationship just to keep the family intact. Another reason they
when you say scared to be on their own, why are they scared to be on their own? I don't understand it.
Because it's hard to be a single mother. You've got to go out and get your job. You don't get to spend as much time with your children, especially if you have more than one child. Say you have 3 or 4 or 5 children, then it's very, very difficult to be a single mother and raise that many children on your own. It's tough. Maybe they don't have the self-esteem that is necessary to go out and be that strong single mother. And they also stay in these abusive relationships for finances. And or of course, low self-esteem. Most of these women, when they start these relationships, the guys are not abusive in the beginning, or women would never go into the relationships. They're good guys. It's all romance. Everybody's thinking with their hormones. And then the abuse starts small. It may start with some verbal abuse, some name-calling, and then it escalates, and it gets worse and worse and worse. And then the women will self-blame. They'll try to analyze the situation and try to make it back to how it was in the beginning, even though it will never be like it was in the beginning. And, they justify and rationalize a lot, and they usually have to hit rock bottom, to the very bottom, until they actually say enough, and then they take the steps to get out.
The movie Sleeping with the Enemy, what's your critique of that movie?
Who was in that movie?
Julia Roberts, Sleeping with the Enemy. She was A lady who married a fairly wealthy architect and was beaten rather regularly. Maybe you didn't see the movie.
Was that the one where she lived on the beach?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that movie. That's a good example of somebody who was a kept woman, and she didn't really have anyone to turn to because her husband was powerful, and her self-esteem was low, and finally she just hit rock bottom and she had to get away.
But I guess what I'm asking is, do you think that's real? In other words,
it's real. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that you could look at that movie and say, yeah, this is going on in the United States and possibly in other parts of the world.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow. I guess I really am naive when it comes to these kinds of issues. Years ago, I did do some work with abused women and help somebody run a safe house, so on and so forth. But I never saw it as being as widespread as it seems to appear now. In other words, it seems almost like it's either at epidemic proportions or women are more readily willing to discuss it. Which do you think it is? Is it growing, or is it simply a matter of women more ready to talk about it?
I think women are more ready to talk about it. Things that are taboo are now easier to discuss, and the media is also bringing a lot of abusive situations to light. In fact, that's what brings their ratings up. So we're bombarded with it. So the worse the story is, the more they air it, it seems like. I mean, look at how often they aired those 9/11 shots. It was just nonstop. So the media right now thrives in abuse.
When a man cheats, being unfaithful, how can women, well, this is probably a terrible question, but how can a wife right now, some wife who's listening to this show, how can she tell if her husband is cheating?
Well, there's a multitude of ways. She has to look for clues. She has to look for behavioral changes. If he's never worked out and he's suddenly going to the gym a lot, if he's changing the way, you know, he dresses, he's suddenly getting haircuts. I'm not just saying physical appearance. It has to go deeper than that. Perhaps he's working later than usual. Maybe he isn't approaching her sexually like he used to, because maybe he's getting it elsewhere. Or maybe he's bombarding her with gifts because of guilt. There's just basically any type of behavioral changes, and a woman's gut instinct is almost never wrong. I've seen that year after year at Woman Savers. And when a woman inside thinks that something is wrong, she's almost always right.
Why do men cheat?
They cheat for various reasons. Some cheat to boost their ego. Some cheat because they can. Some cheat because they're not getting satisfied at home. Some cheat because of boredom. Some cheat because of the adventure. There's so many different reasons that men cheat. You can't just say one or two reasons.
Is there a corollary between men and women? Do men cheat more, or women cheat about the same, or what is the stats on that?
I think men cheat more still, but I think women are closing in on them because women are in the workforce more, and now they're having more opportunity to cheat. Before, when they're, you know, just at home in the house, they don't have as many opportunities, but women who are traveling have lots of opportunities, and sometimes they take them. I think women and men cheat for different reasons. Women usually cheat for emotional reasons. Their emotional needs are not getting met. Maybe their husband or boyfriend aren't listening to them enough, or they are working all the time, things like that. Men can cheat for both emotional and physical reasons, but many times if a very sexy woman were to approach a man who's on a business trip, some just don't decline.
Well, you're talking about people with situational ethics. In other words, as a situation changes, their ethics change. And so I'm wondering now, the current generation of young people, are their own ethics such that they are situational? In other words, when I was growing up, whatever came out of your mouth, you could put in a bank, and you were judged by that. But it seems to be that what you're saying is that as an opportunity arises, a person might cheat simply because the opportunity is there. Are people's ethics and sense of morality different, do you think, today than when you look back on previous generations?
Well, it sure is different when I turn on the TV.
But
I
yeah.
see TV every night. Sometimes I'm even shocked, and I'm really liberal. And the things that are on TV now make my mouth drop open. And I worry that, you know, young children are watching this, even though I don't have any children of my own. I think that people's morals now are different. I'm not going to say they're worse. I think monogamy is very important to people still. STDs are a huge problem. It's like 80 or 90% of young adults now have human papillomavirus virus, which is HPV, a sexually transmitted disease, which can lead women to have cervical cancer. And so monogamy is important not only because of an emotional standpoint, but also because of physical and the STD danger that's out there.
It's just plain dangerous, is what you're saying.
Well, of course, it's much safer to be in a monogamous relationship. That there's no doubt, and I think young people nowadays, that's how the term "friends with benefits" got started. Young people started that one.
Okay, let's get into the relationship issues. A gal meets a guy, they go out for a while, he says anything he can to get her into bed, she gets into bed, and so on and so forth, and then the breakup occurs. That's obviously devastating for her. What do you say to young ladies who are trying to recover from a breakup? What should they do? How can they deal with it?
Well, the quickest way to get over a relationship, I think, is probably to keep yourself as busy as possible. I think exercise is great. Anything outdoors, maybe adopt a pet. Start up a new hobby that you didn't do before because you were too busy with that man or woman. Just whatever you do, don't allow yourself too much time to mope. You know, stay busy, start a new project, something like that. That helps your recovery.
Would you also recommend immediately jumping into the dating system?
I don't think it's a good idea. Some people think the fastest way to get over one man is to replace him with another, which works for some. But I think the best way is to actually be happy by yourself first. You need to be 100% happy and fulfilled on your own before you are ready to get involved with somebody else. You can't ever fill your needs with another person because it just doesn't work. And then if you break up with somebody, it's not the end of the earth because you already had a very fulfilled life on your own and you know you can have that again.
Are you at the personal level, Stephanie, do you think that at some point in your life you might desire to get married, to get involved in that kind of a relationship?
Sure, why not? I'm just very careful, and I don't want to be part of the statistics. And that's why I haven't chosen to get married so far. I look around, I've seen the mistakes that my friends and family and acquaintances have made, and I'm human too, and I want to put the odds in my favor to be married for many, many years.
Putting the odds in your favor, that's really a tough thing to do. I'm on my second marriage, and we got married, I think, about 10 years ago. My first marriage lasted 29 years.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a long time, isn't it? People would ask, well, why would people who are married 29 years get divorced? In this particular situation, it occurred because my first wife was a closet alcoholic, and she eventually insisted on a divorce. She found a drinking buddy. That's after 29 years. So I think what I'm trying to say to you And she was the perfect mate in every other way. But what I think what I'm trying to say to you is that I'm not sure what you can do to improve your chances that it will not fall apart. Because you're talking now to a guy who was married for 29 years and it fell apart. And it had nothing to do with any of the things that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm telling you and the audience is I don't really know what you can do to ensure. Sometimes I do believe you just, you know, pays your money and takes your chances no matter what you do.
Right. There are no guarantees with relationships, that's for sure. But there are simple things. Like, if there are red flags in the very beginning of a relationship and your gut tells you that there's something not right, like, say there is a little bit of abuse that occurs early on in a relationship.
Describe that. What do you mean by abuse?
Say you see somebody flip out from an anger management problem, or say you get the hint of drug use, or any kind of physical or verbal abuse, or perhaps they don't have any friends, and that might be their reason for that. Things like that. Red flags, it's important to be aware of these red flags and then to have the ability to step back if you do see them and not proceed forward.
Yeah, to be objective. That is really tough, you know. You want to excuse everything out of the way.
It is, because your emotions are usually already involved.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I've done it, and if I've done it, other people can do it.
One of the things that we only have a few minutes left, I really do want to touch on this, and that is how to deal with a man who is addicted to porn. It's an interesting question. I got this off of either your website or one of the interviews you did. Maybe it's the press kit. What does a woman do?
That's a tough one. Some women don't have a problem with porn. Others do. If the porn gets to the point of where it is affecting the relationship in a negative manner, then it's a huge problem. If the man is choosing porn instead of having sex with his partner, or if he's staying up late at night surfing porn instead of spending time with the real woman in his wife, then it's a problem. If he's trying to compare his partner to the unrealistic ideals of what the porn, you know, women look like, that's also a problem.
Okay,
so,
Stephanie, we got about a minute left. What should a woman do? Yeah.
Try getting him into counseling. Try making him aware that it hurts you. And, just communication. That's all you can do.
Communication. Okay. A fair answer. Fair answer to a very difficult question. Stephanie, I want to thank you for coming on our show today. We are out of time. I've got 85 million other questions I'd love to ask you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's been a treat for me. Stephanie, you have a closing comment. What's your last word?
Don't give up. There are wonderful people out there, wonderful guys. Just because there are a lot of bad people out there, don't be scared to look for the good ones.
Thank you very much, and good night.
Thanks.
Well, folks, you got a chance to hear it. It was an absolutely fascinating, fascinating interview. And this old man was totally unaware. Maybe at some future point we can get Stephanie on here again. Next week's guest is Veronica Monet, a certified sexologist and sex educator. And, folks, I guess this is the opposite side of the coin. It ought to be absolutely dazzling. Tune in, and we're all going to get an education. Thank you for listening, and I wish every one of you a wonderful day. That's a wrap, Don.